Good morning. My name is Carolina, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mega Cable's earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Kenya Vargas with iAdvise Corporate Communications for opening remarks.
Thank you, and welcome to Mega Cable's second quarter 2018 conference call. At this time, I would like to introduce Mega Cable's management and today's presenters. Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. The gentlemen will be discussing the quarterly results before moving on to the question and answer session. It is important to mention that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, the company's performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions and could materially change throughout the year. Please review the complete disclaimer presented in the financial earnings report that was issued yesterday. You may contact us at 212-406-3696 if you did not receive the quarterly report or if you need any assistance. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We're very pleased with the strong results we achieved during this period, including financial growth with historical EBITDA levels and a margin expansion to reach 50.2%, as well as a wider penetration of the massive and corporate market. With regards to the massive market, Megacable posted subscriber growth across all three segments, reaching 2.15 active use per unique subscriber. Moreover, as a result of our successful bundling strategy focused on the sale of triple play packages. In the video segment, we reached subscriber growth for a fifth consecutive quarter. We continue to aim to provide innovative services such as XView and HD channels, which have experienced higher than expected usage levels among subscribers. The broadband segment continues to advance rapidly, supported by consumer trends that demand faster speed. We are confident in our strong position to meet subscriber requirements and provide quality services, which are client service oriented. Finally, telephony continues to grow as a result of our bundling strategy despite a constricted market. Broadband remains the main source of subscriber growth, reaching 2,816,000 subscribers, increasing 403,000 net adds compared to the second quarter of 2017, a 17% growth year over year. During the second quarter of 2018, the number of net adds in broadband account for 80,000, a 2.9% over the previous quarter. The company maintains constant, skipped a page of my speech. Despite the constricted market, the above mentioned resulted in a significant revenue growth when compared to the second quarter of 2017, together with higher ARPU levels. Once again, the corporate segment has delivered a strong quarter with remarkable revenue growth, especially MetroCarrier. As a result of a diversified client base and the variety of services offered, as such, we are gaining experience and traction on our way to becoming not only a significant player in the market, but also one of the leaders in the segment. Megacable is known not only for its flexibility to adjust to changes in the market with rapid decision making. We are also recognized for our ability to generate products that allowed us to stay one step ahead of our competition. We seek innovation so that each product and service launched meets and exceeds subscriber needs. Right now, we are analyzing the option of becoming an MVNO, which would greatly increase the connectivity capabilities for subscribers. We're working on all the details to launch the service and make sure that when we start providing mobile connections, we will have the most reliable and friendly complement to our telecom offer. In terms of CapEx, we know that a reliable network is necessary in order to provide excellent service in a top competitive advantage. Thus, we continue investing in our network to ensure its maximum potential, as well as investing in other projects such as the submarine cable project that we officially presented during the quarter. This project will allow us to be more cost efficient and generate additional revenues. In May, Megacable paid a shareholder dividend for a total of 1.5 billion pesos. This was higher than originally established in our dividend policy. And we are certain that looking forward, the strategy we have set forth, along with strong execution will allow us to continue generating value for all shareholders. Thank you for your attention. Now I will turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so that they can walk you through additional details regarding the company's operating and financial results. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Let's review the operating results. Regarding the massive market, we reached 7.6 million RGUs at the end of the second quarter, a 14.5% increase when compared with second quarter 2017. RGUs per unique subscriber rose to 2.15 from the 2.01 reported last year, driven by marketing and commercial efforts to strengthen sales of triple play packages. Broadband remains the main source of subscriber growth, reaching 2,860,000 subscribers, increasing 403,000 net adds compared to second quarter 2017, a 17% growth year over year. During the second quarter 2018, the number of net adds in broadband account for 80,000, a 2.9% over previous quarter. The company maintains a constant monitoring of its network and takes the necessary measures to guarantee the bandwidth capacity to provide a reliable and always available service through a state-of-the-art network infrastructure. As a result, 57% of our broadband subscriber base have 20 megabits or more, but with the ability to provide up to 200 megs at a very competitive rate. Furthermore, with the objective of providing integrated connectivity capabilities to our subscribers, we continue to invest in expanding our metro Wi-Fi footprint, increasing the available number of hotspots by 19% when compared to the second quarter of last year to reach more than 7.1 thousand hotspots. The video segment reached 3,154,000 subscribers at the end of second quarter 2018. Adding 230,000 new subs when compared to the same period of last year, a 7.9% increase. On a quarterly basis, we reached 53,000 net adds, the fifth consecutive period of subscriber growth. As we mentioned, our aim is to offer subscribers a top-rate experience through innovative products, such as HD or Xview. This allows us to strengthen customer retention with a more loyal customer base. During the quarter, we continue with the digitalization of our video subscribers in order to offer a better experience, reaching 82% digital subs over our total base by the end of this quarter. Xview net adds of 84,000 represented an increase of 33% subscriber compared to the previous quarter, to reach a total of 332,000 by second quarter 2018. As Enrique mentioned, usage of this service is higher than expected, which motivates us to continue increasing content available on this next generation video platform. The telephony segment continues to perform well as a result of our bundling strategy. We reached 326,000 net adds year over year, a 25% increase to reach 1.6 million subscribers. On a quarterly basis, Megacable had 70,000 net adds, a 6% increase compared to first quarter 2018. The overall product mix continues to shift, driven by the aforementioned increases and by a successful bundling strategy. Double and triple play packages now represent 75% of the current portfolio, compared to 7% in second quarter of last year. In terms of ARPU per unique subscriber, we achieved 3% growth in the annual comparison, thanks to higher RGUs per subscriber, rate increases, and sales with higher ARPU contribution and complementary services like HD and Xview. Video churn remained at 2.4% during the quarter, the same levels with first quarter 2018, and at the lowest since first quarter 2016, in line with our goal of achieving healthier net adds. The churn rate for broadband and telephony also improved when compared to second quarter 2017, reaching 2.4% and 4.6% respectively, also contributing to subscriber growth. As we have mentioned, the company continues to strategically invest in its network. During the quarter, Megacable built and activated 619 new kilometers to reach more than 57,000, through which we serve more than 8.2 million homes passed. Regarding the corporate telecom segment, it continues to expand compared to the second quarter of 2017. Corporate telecom achieved a significant 54% revenue increase, mainly driven by an impressive 112% increase in MetroCarrier as a result of the expansion to new cities and the participation in important projects such as Red Compartida and Mexico Conectado. Additionally, ho1a grew 12% and MCM increased by 19%. As you see, our strategy in this segment includes many fronts, a wide variety of products and solutions supported by partnerships with leading companies worldwide, all allowing us to offer innovative services tailored to the needs of our customers. As always, all these efforts maintain our strong commitment to quality and client satisfaction. Thank you all. Luis will take us through the financial at this time. Luis?
Thank you, Raymundo, and good morning, everyone. I will now give you more details about our financial figures prior to taking to your questions. Before looking at our financials, I would like to touch base on our accounting policy change. As mentioned in our July 20th press release, we modified our accounting policy regarding installation costs within our subscriber acquisition costs. With the change, both labor and materials involved in the installation of our service to every subscriber are recorded as a fixed asset and will be amortized accordingly to the average tenure of our subscribers. This change will allow us to align with industry common practices, match investment to its revenue generation, and its depreciation effects to the pertaining revenue recognition. This change has been validated by our external auditors and authorized by our audit committee and board of directors. In our second quarter 2018 report, you can find our financial information under both the new and the previous policies to ensure a clear explanation and transparency on our results. All comments in the report and in this call are made based on the new policy figures, which were updated to show equivalent and comparable basis. Now, related to our financials. Consolidated revenues for the second quarter reached 4.9 billion pesos, a 19% increase when compared to the second quarter of the previous year. However, during this quarter, we booked 99 million pesos in non-recurrent revenue due to the final favorable ruling from court on interconnection rate disputes from 2014 and 2015. Excluding this amount, revenues increased by 16%. In the massive market, video revenues grew by 10% as a result of a higher number of subscribers, coupled with continuous efforts toward achieving healthier net adds, as we have mentioned. Broadband continues to be the main driver of revenue growth, with an 18% increase in revenues during the period. We remain focused on offering attractive speed packages, making us a very competitive player in this developing segment. Finally, Telephony remained practically in line compared to the second quarter of 2017 as a result of the bundling strategy discounts. As Raimundo mentioned, the corporate telecom segment revenues increased an outstanding 54% during the quarter. MetroCarriers continues to be the main growth driver for the segment with 112% higher revenues. During the period, additionally, Ola and MTN grew by 12% and 19% respectively. During this period, video revenue contributed with 41% of the total consolidated figure, while broadband accounted for 30%, corporate remained at 18%, and telephony and others accounted for 8% and 2% respectively. Cost of services increased by 18%, and SG&A increased 16% when compared to the second quarter of 2017. Nevertheless, in SG&A, the figure contains a non-recurring expense accounting for 54 million pesos. Without that effect, the growth in the SG&A line will be only 14.5%. As a result of the above mentioned, Megacable reached a consolidated EBITDA figure for 2.47 billion pesos, an increase of 22%, and a new record figure for the company under comparable basis. The EBITDA margin rose from 49.2% in the second quarter 2017 to 50.2% in the second quarter of 18. EBITDA for cable operations reached 2.3 billion pesos, recording a 21% increase compared to last year, reaching a 52.4 adjusted EBITDA margin. Net profit reached 1.3 billion pesos, a 13.8 increase when compared to second quarter of 2017. Growth below EBITDA levels is mainly explained by higher depreciation given the investment made last year, as well as a higher tax rate. Megacable net debt reached 1 billion pesos, compared to the positive cash flow position in the first quarter of 2018, this temporary effect was mainly due to the dividend payment made in the month of May. We are certain that that continuous cash generation will allow us to reduce debt levels going forward. EBITDA to interest coverage ratio was 24 times at the end of the period. And finally, with regards to CapEx, during the second quarter, Megacable invested 1.44 billion pesos, representing 29.4% of total revenues. However, the figure includes an effect regarding the change in the capitalization policy. Excluding this effect, we reached 25.6% of sales. Most of these resources were allocated towards the acquisition of subscriber equipment, construction of new network kilometers, and network modernization. To conclude, I just want to say the second quarter is a continuation of the positive trend we saw at the beginning of the year. As such, we will continue reaching for the guidance we set for the full year. Thank you for your attention. We will now open the floor for your questions. Operator, please go ahead.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And your first question comes from Leonardo Olmos with Santander. Your line is open.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. My question is regarding XView and future content offerings. We've noticed that in Mexico, for example, Telefónica and Total Play are offering or beginning to offer Netflix with its content with the ability to pay on the Total Play invoice. In Brazil, Telefónica has announced yesterday launched the Cartoon Network, Watch, ESPN, and other content offerings on its fixed services. So my question for XView is how do you see in the medium term, which kind of content offering do you see it's financially worth? What's the calculation you do to make this type of decision, and where are you going from here? Thank you.
Leonardo, this is Raimundo. Sorry about that. I don't know the rest in the conference, but we could barely understand you. It was a kind of cutting a little bit your voice. I understand you ask about the XView, pretty much the results and the usage and going forward. Is that correct? Because we couldn't understand most of the question.
Can you hear me better now?
A little bit.
Okay, I'll try it. My question is regarding XView and future content offering. So I mentioned that a lot of competition is offering Netflix or offering Cartoon Network, Watch ESPN, a lot of OTT offerings. And I want to know what XView is going to offer and how do you do the calculation or the mathematics to decide if you offer or do not offer any specific type of content or OTT on your platform.
Okay. What we have with the XView, let me explain you again. What we have is a two-side product. One is aimed to be an NGV. NGV, we call it a next-generation video platform that allows the set-top box to move in time from a linear to non-linear. That's been proven to be the most effective product so far because customers can get better use of the linear channels that they have right now by going back and restart the TV or going into the VOD platform and look at their favorite program, what they want on the TV. The second part of the product is the OTT part, which allows that NGV to be used on mobile devices, whether you have a telephone, a cell phone, or you have a tablet or a laptop. In all of them, we have the capacity and certain rights to provide different content for the different platforms. Our strategy, and I think that's what is going to be happening for companies like us that are aggregators of content from somebody else. We have all our business partners from Fox, Disney, HBO, Discovery, Viacom, and all of them evolving from linear to non-linear. Also, we are working with the different OTT platforms to integrate them into our XView, both the set-top box and over the top. What I do foresee that people in Megacable will have access, like it did last year, we signed a contract with Crackle. Crackle from Sony provides a lot of content to our platform as well as the different studios, and all of those are integrated into our platform for the users of our subscribers. In the months to come, or in the future, somebody can pick our basic package from all the traditional content providers, but also make a mega total, which is everything that we can have from us, and we'll be integrating HBO with Netflix and who knows, Amazon Prime and whoever wants to be integrated in the platform. That's how we foresee that we will continue to be an important player in the video segment. Tell me if that answered your question in that part.
Yes, that's exactly my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from Carlos Legarreta with GBM. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking the question. The first one would be if you are providing updated guidance for EBITDA and CapEx under the new accounting rules, or we can just assume that the effect that we have seen we can extrapolate that to the rest of the year.
Sure, Carlos. Luis, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Well, based on the results and the new accounting policy, yes, we would like to make a slight changes on our guidance. We think that the results have been strong enough on the revenue side, so we would like to upgrade a little bit on the revenue line from 11 to 12 to 12 to 13% growth in the revenue line. On the consolidated EBITDA, we would like to upgrade from, we had 12 to 14 now. We think we are going to finish with a 15 to 17% growth. regarding the video subscribers, we think we would like to upgrade a little bit there from 3 to 5 to 6 to 7% growth in the video subscriber base. On internet, we remain with the same growth as we mentioned at the beginning of the year, that's 15 to 17%. On the telephone side, we would like to upgrade also a little bit from 16 to 18 that we had at the beginning of the year to 18 to 20% now. On the RGU growth, as a result of the above, we would like to upgrade also a little bit from the 11 to 12 that we had at the beginning of the year to a 12 to 13% for the end of the year. Also, on the CapEx side, we would like to upgrade that number from the $270 million to around $300 million. Basically, that are the figures that we have for the year now on our guidance.
I don't know if you get all the amounts, Carlos, doctor.
I think I did, but the 15 to 17 on EBITDA, that obviously is considering the comparable figure, saying the pro forma under IFRS for the 2017?
Yes, it's applying the new policy to 17 and 18 numbers.
That's perfect. Thank you. And the follow-up, I think we've addressed this before. I just want to know if the change in accounting policy had anything to do with it. But the CapEx you're reporting of $1.4 billion, I can't conceal that with the acquisitions of PPE that I see in your cash flow statement of around 2 billion pesos. So I'm just wondering what's the difference there. Thank you.
So the $1.4 billion investment in CapEx that you mentioned already include cost of installation. You have to consider this is cost of installation only. The change affects only that. So it's not affecting anything else. So
the revenue that you mentioned is not affectable. The only thing that is going to be affected is by this change of policy, the EBITDA, so that we have,
and CapEx.
And it's gonna affect the CapEx going from 270 to 300 million. At the end of the year, still at 29 to 30% of the revenue, but that's the only effect that we have. The good thing, you know, we are raising our expectation for video subs and raising the expectation for revenues.
I mean, no, I get the change. I don't know if I was clear. Maybe we can follow up that later in a separate call.
Sure, Carlos, on everyone.
Sure.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva with Merrill Lynch. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, Enrique, Raimundo, Luis. I have a couple of questions. The first one is related to the one-off in revenues related to interconnection disputes. I just want to make sure if this $99 million is a one-off in revenues and the same impact of $99 million applies to EBITDA. That would be my first question. Then secondly, I would like to know if you could share with us more color on the launch of MVNO services. When would you expect to launch the service? Which would be your positioning? And finally, I think you mentioned a $54 million negative one-off on SG&A. I didn't see anything on the release, so I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on this respect. Thank you.
Sure. Do you want to go ahead, please, with the 99 and the 54, and I'll take the implement?
For sure, yes. So thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you for your question and your time. Yes, the 99 million pesos that we had as the non-recurrent revenue is directly going to EBITDA, absolutely. And the same thing happens with the 54 million that we have on SG&A. They affect directly to EBITDA as well. The 54 million that we are posting as non-recurrent is basically a fine that we got on some services that we didn't comply with, and we have to take the hit. And that includes also some expenses from GTAC from the previous years, and basically that's what accounts for the 54 million. and again goes directly to EBITDA.
But everything is related to operations.
Everything is related to operations and is a non-recurring thing.
And then, Rodrigo, regarding the MVNO, like Enrique said, we continue to explore the project. The project is under the it's moving forward. We don't see any reason why not to launch it so far. We're preparing all the different teams to do that, and you should expect this to go by pretty much beginning of next year, first quarter 2019. That's where you will start seeing the beginning of the NBA, if everything continues to go correct on that part.
Understood. Thank you very much. And a couple of questions, additional questions, if I may. We saw some slowdown in net additions on a sequential basis. Would you say it's related to seasonality, Raimundo? And then the second question would be related to the submarine cable that you're investing in. I would like to know if you could provide some potential incremental revenues as a result of this. Thank you.
Related to the slowdown of net additions, to be honest, we're very happy with the results because it was after the Easter season, the holidays that we have there where people don't acquire a service, and also during the World Cup. As you can recall, we have a disadvantage during the World Cup where we did not have the full product. And we suffer a strong campaign coming from other companies in that part. And we're very happy, honestly, to provide these results. We have the fifth consecutive video growth, despite of not having, you know, hopefully lucky we did not have the cost. And we did increase the subscribers on that part. On the net additions that we have, we did not suffer any churn on that part. And we did not suffer any increase in the churn compared to the World Cup, and still we managed to provide growth in the subscriber base. So you can account that as seasonality in terms of the World Cup, which is finished by right now. Related to the second question that you have, which is the cable invested, are you talking about the submarine cable, if I guess on that one?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, what I understand about this submarine cable is that it's going to definitely help you from an OPEX perspective, as you're going to be using your own infrastructure, but probably you could lease it as well to some other players. So I was wondering if there's any potential positive impact on revenues that you foresee once this submarine cable is finished.
Sure. We will provide this, Enrique. We will provide services to other carriers. We can't do that right now because there's no capacity, and the capacity that there is extremely expensive. It's prohibited. You can't do any business with those costs and prices that would be charged by the preponderant player. And on top of that, we have not been able to sell any corporate or enterprise services in Baja to any hotels or governmental agencies there because we don't have bandwidth, and that's what the additional revenue is coming.
Okay, understood, Enrique. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from Daniel Federal with Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My first question is regarding CapEx. If you could provide us with a little bit more color on CapEx allocation, how much of this CapEx could be seen as growth-related infrastructure expansion, and how much is more maintenance CapEx or network upgrades? And the second question regarding the voice revenues. Voice revenues were declining a little bit in the past few quarters, and now it is stabilizing. How much of this is more like revenues allocation, and how much of this is a real positive trend? Thank you.
Sure. You want to go ahead with the topic?
Right. Daniel, thanks for your questions and for your time. Yes, related to CapEx, most of the investment, as you've seen, is being allocated to the growth of kilometers, new kilometers of network, also for subscriber equipment. And most of that equipment goes to the new places we're digitizing and the upgrade we're doing on services. Basically, what most of our CapEx is related to growth. So we could say that about 70% of our CapEx is related to growth, and the other 30% goes to maintenance, basically replacing all set of boxes and all the maintenance that we have to do. But most of the maintenance we do to our network is expensed on a monthly basis.
And we need to clarify on the part, Luis, on the next one. Whenever you call and you say that maintenance is related to the growth of the bandwidth, you know, that's why Luis says our network is upgraded all the time to provide more bandwidth.
Right.
That one goes straight related to subscribers in that part, even though it's not allocated to expansion of the network or CPE equipment like that.
Right, because it's
part of the, it's not the regular maintenance for failure of obsolescence of the network. It is part of the process that we have increased capacity. Pretty much everything goes to those parts. You know, our maintenance is very low. The rest is invested to provide more bandwidth and expansion of the network, and of course the CPE related to the growth of subscribers. The red one is not accountable pretty much on that part. And then you asked about the voice revenues, the arc of the voice that stays pretty much similar on this part. We continue our three-year bonding. It's not cost on that part. It is a mixture in between the new subscribers and the old subscribers. We expect a ARPU of voice to remain on that part or slightly below that, not significant. We don't have any more packages with lower ARPU, but we'll continue to put some pressure because we rose way above because of the triple play package on that part, and we allocate less cost to that area. But we're focusing in the unit ARPU, which we believe we are 4% above last year, despite seasonality and everything that we can mention. Looking forward, it looks like the ARPU, unit ARPU, like Luis mentioned, should continue to increase because of the RU growth, the XU, the SD, and rate increases. So it looks pretty good in our opinion then.
Okay, amazing. Thank you very much.
Thank you for asking.
And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the program back to Mr. Yamuni for any closing remarks.
Okay. As always, it is a pleasure to discuss our results with you all. We are confident that we are in a very strong position to face the challenges that we present in the rest of the year, so we can continue delivering excellent results for the rest of the year and the years to come. Thank you for your interest in Megacable, and please contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any questions or concerns regarding the company. Have a wonderful afternoon. Thank you all.